You didn't know it was called a guitar, did you? It is. So I'm going to ask them to come on ahead, and they will bless us in music. Appreciate that. Appreciate people being willing to be used of the Lord. You know, there's preaching and teaching, singing, witnessing, and all those things. But let me go ahead and get mic'd up, switch over. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, we do thank you for many blessings. We thank you for all that you do. We thank you for ministering to us in music. We thank you for those willing to be used of thee. just pray, Lord, that you would continue to bless this church, continue to bless each and every individual, whether it be members or visitors, or Lord, just thank you for the children that are coming here. And Lord, it's such a wonderful thing to have young people. We just pray for your will to be done in the services today. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. This morning, if you would, turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, we're just in the last chapter of Philippians. And one of the things that it's going to talk about in the passage that we're looking at this morning is the book of life. Now, there are many misunderstandings in the Bible. The book of life is one of them. Where I was just talking about music, and listen, if somebody came up here and sang the song, A New Name in Glory, that would be fine. Is it doctrinally correct? Probably not, because it says there's a new name written down in glory. I believe the Bible teaches that all names are written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. And the Bible says that. And then upon death, without accepting Christ, that name is blotted out. In Daniel's 70th week, the time to come, there is an event that can take place where a person can take the mark and they have no hope of redemption. In other words, they lose their opportunity of eternal life as soon as they accept the mark. And we'll see that as we go through. Probably be a several part message because I won't be able to cover everything this morning. But I want you to have an open mind. This is not to correct people out there. I've told you that many a time. This is not really to correct you. It's just we need to look at this thing and realize there are a lot of things that are taught that aren't necessarily true. A lot of things believed that cause confusion. The reason that we learn the truth and know the truth is because the truth will make you free, but it's also because we need to be able to help others. There are people that believe you can lose your salvation. Nobody loses their salvation. Once they are saved, they are eternally secure. I don't care if that's back in the Old Testament, or it's in the time yet to come, or today, that's the truth taught throughout the Bible. Once your name is written down in the book of life, which is could be at birth, could be, again, from the foundation of the world, God knows everybody's going to be born, you can't lose your salvation. Now, Moses said, blot out my name. Paul said, you know, I wish I could be accursed for my brethren's sake. But all those things are impossibilities. His name couldn't be blotted out, and God told him as much. However, at the point of death, if a person hasn't accepted Christ, their name's blotted out of the book of life. They're not found in there. If they take the mark, their name's blotted out, and I believe the Bible teaches that. So again, going back to the songs, there's another song, He Wrote My Name. And the chorus says, I never could forget the day that Jesus wrote my name within the blessed book of life and took my many sins away. You know, again, it's a technicality to some point, but the reason that we study the Bible is because we don't want to be incorrect. You don't have to agree with me today. I mean, if you want to be right, you do, but other than that, that is a joke. If I didn't believe what I'm teaching is true, I wouldn't teach it. I don't know what chapter, I think it's like chapter 44 in my one book, Rightly Divided. It's called The Book of Life. And we need to understand things in the Bible because they are liberating. Isn't it great to know that eternal security is taught in the Bible? You can't lose your salvation. Yet many people say, well, I don't want to lose my salvation. And they teach it because of certain things like the book of life. There's a lot more in-depth things that seem to indicate that, and sometimes that is skewed. But go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus and I beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. So again, he's talking about unity here. And in Romans 12, verse 16, he talks about one toward another and mind not things of high estate. He wants us to be on the same page, speak the same things, 1 Corinthians 1:10. We need to be in unity in this church. Unity around truth, unity around godliness, unity around purpose, to see a lost and dying world come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We need to be in unity. You're not in unity around error. You're not in unity around false doctrine or falsehood. There is no unity around that. Now, there are people that are in union with that. But unity in the Bible always expresses that unity is according to truth. He goes on in verse 3, "And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." So we're going to spend a little bit of time on this. I want to give you a couple of points. Sometimes people propagate a false concept, and that has to do with the book of life. To get a more complete understanding, we're going to first of all start off with five crucial elements concerning the subject, the book of life. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21, the first thing I think in order to understand the book of life is that the book of life and the Lamb's book of life are synonymous. They're both the same. Revelation 21, 27. "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which they which are written in the Lamb's book of life." So in the future, only those that will enter in are in the Lamb's book of life. Why? Because things are settled by then. Look at chapter 13 of Revelation. And again, we're just making one point here, and that is that the book of life and the Lamb's book of life are the same. Revelation 13, 8, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world." So Jesus is slain from the foundation of the world. That's why God can look forward in time and know that His Son's going to die on the cross, and He can do things that we don't understand. Is man looking forward to the cross? No, Peter wasn't looking forward to the cross when he ran to the sepulchre and he was stooping in, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. He wasn't looking forward to the cross. When the women came and told them about it, those things seemed like idle tales, that they'd seen the resurrected Savior. However, God can look forward. And that's what I think you see here. He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God can look forward to the cross. But the point being here, he says in verse 8 of chapter 13, "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him who? Whose names are not written in the book of the life of the Lamb." Well, let me ask you something. Are they worshiping Him because their name's not in there? Is their name not in there and therefore they're worshiping Him because they're lost? And I think the latter is the truth. In other words, they're worshiping the beast, they've taken the mark, their name's blotted out of the book of life, and only those whose names are blotted out of the book of life are worshiping the Antichrist, and they have the mark of the beast. And the reason they're doing it is because they've chosen to reject God, and that's what's happened to them. And again, the point being, it isn't that their name was never written in there, they were lost, you know, the Calvinistic type of teaching where, you know, they were born condemned to hell forever and had no hope of getting saved. There's nothing like that in the Bible. These are people in the future time period, Daniel's 70th week, that'll choose to worship the beast, take the mark. And I believe at that time, there is no hope of salvation. If you take the mark, you can't undo the mark. You can't say, well, I've changed my mind. You can't do that. Not according to Scripture. Therefore, their name is blotted out. So again, the one point, the book of life is synonymous with the Lamb's book of life. Just by comparing those two, it talked about Revelation 21, 27, the Lamb's book of life, and then Revelation 13, 8, the book of life of the Lamb. Same thing. Point number two, turn to Revelation 21 again. The book of life alone is the book that determines one's eternal destination. The determination whether a person enters the holy city, the New Jerusalem, in Revelation 21, 1, if you'll look there, is determined by a simple fact. Does their name appear in the Lamb's book of life? If they want to go into the New Jerusalem, the holy city, verse 27, which we've already looked at, and there is no wise enter in anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. The only ones that are able to go into that city are those that are found in the Lamb's book of life. Look at verse 7. Earlier in the chapter, you read the stipulation for one's name to appear in the book of life at that time. Revelation 21, 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. So, the person has to be an overcomer. How is somebody overcome? Or how does someone overcome in that future period? It's by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Look at Revelation chapter 12. It'll define that for you. Again, the teaching is that you overcome by works. No, you overcome by the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 12, 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. They overcome by two things, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And then the resultant thing is they loved not their lives unto the death, unto the death in the tribulation or in Daniel's 70th week, as I said. There will be a time when people will be put to death because they refuse to succumb to the teachings of Satan. And that is, they don't take the mark, they don't worship the beast, they love not their lives unto death. But how do they overcome? Overcoming isn't just living longer. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. In Daniel chapter 7, I'm trying to decide whether to take you there. I want you to go to Revelation chapter 20. The judgment involves the opening of the books, plural, followed by the opening of a singular book. The singular book is the book of life. That's where your name's written down. At the end judgment, at the great white throne judgment, there are books that are open. And we'll see that in Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 11. I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Look at verse 12. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Verse 12 goes on and it says, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. So the second death has to do with some books that are open. The books will be used to judge the dead according to their works, yet it is the book of life alone that determines one's eternal destiny. The book of life's mentioned here. Not until in this chapter is the purpose expressed for that book of life. The dead are not judged out of the book of life. Now watch this. It's very crucial you get it. It seems only to contain names. However, the books contain the commandments, the laws, the ordinances, and they'll be judged according to their individual works. In other words, here's what happens. Everybody stands before God, if they're lost, at the great white throne judgment. The books are open. They're judged out of the books according to their works. But look at Revelation 20, verse 15. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So you see, the determination on the eternal destiny of a soul has to do with the book of life, not the books that were open. The books, plural. They're going to be judged according to their works, determining the extent of their eternal damnation. I don't believe Hitler's going to be in the same spot as somebody else. I believe Hitler and Stalin and people that blow themselves up for religion and all of that, there are going to be different levels of hell. The Bible teaches that. The greater damnation the Bible talks about. So you have to understand that. So the books are open. They're judged for their works are judged according to those books. But it's the book of life that determines their destination. If your name's in the book of life, you have eternal security. But you need to make that distinction. It's the key in Revelation 20:15. The sole reason for the eternal damnation of an individual is the person's name being absent from the book of life. So now the third point. Turn to Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4. Initially, the book of life contains the names of all the living. There's no reason to believe that the book of the living differs from the book of life. The book of the living, we're going to look at that now in Isaiah 4, verse 3. The book of the living. The exception might be in Daniel's 70th week, there'll still be people that are living, but they're not going to have their names written in the book of life because they will have rejected the Savior. They will do the one thing that can condemn a soul to hell while they're living. Do you know there's nothing that condemns your soul to hell while you're living today with no hope of salvation? Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound today. But the problem is, after the rapture of all believers, there's a whole different scenario. There's a thing called the mark of the beast. You can't take the mark because it's not here. You can't worship the image of the beast. You can't worship the beast because he's not here. You can't be condemned for worshiping the image of the beast or worshiping the beast and taking the mark because there is no mark and you won't be here if you're saved. You're leaving with all believers and then things change. So it talks in Isaiah 4, verse 3 about the... Look at what it says, verse 3. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. So they're written among the living. And then in Psalm 69, verse 28, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. So it really makes a distinction there. You need to understand the book of the living. There's no reason to believe that it differs from the book of life. There are names written in that book. Now again, the difference is they could be in the book of the living in Daniel's 70th week and yet be eternally damned and not have their name written in the book of life. So it's important to understand some of these distinctions. And we'll bring it all together as we go. Look at Revelation chapter 17 again. Here's the fourth point. The Bible never gives an indication, let me get there with you, that names are written in the book of life. However, it does show that names can and are blotted out of it. Revelation 17, look at verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder. They're going to wonder whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. Their name is not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. Now remember, it's the book of life from the foundation of the world. Their name's not written in that book. That's all it's saying there. You got to be careful how you read it because you can misunderstand. You can say, well, their names were not written in the book of life from the foundation. Well, that would contradict everything that we're looking at. You can't let one obscure passage contradict everything else you look at. Either all the names are written in from the foundation of the world, or this contradicts that. And if you just read it carefully, their names were not written in the book of life. What is this book of life? It's the names written from the foundation of the world. That's all we're looking at here. So let's take it a step further. Look at Luke chapter 10. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know what you ought to rejoice about is your name is written in heaven, and nothing can take that name out of that book unless you die without Jesus. You can't lose your salvation. You have eternal security. You have eternal life. Now think about it. We talk about eternal life. We talk about eternal security. We talk about everlasting life. How long is everlasting if you can lose it? How long is eternal if it isn't eternal? So when you get saved, you have eternal life. How long is that? Well, until you sin. Well, until you break the commandments. Well, then it never was eternal, and God's word means nothing. The moment you get saved, you trust Jesus Christ, you receive Him as your Savior, you have eternal life. He says you're sealed until the day of redemption. What's the day of redemption? That's when your body is redeemed from the grave, or when He comes back at the rapture and He changes your mortal body into an eternal body. You see, your body's not eternal. Your soul is. By the way, all souls are eternal. You either have eternal life or eternal death. If you die without Christ, you have eternal death. You'll be dying forever and forever and forever and ever, but nothing ever destroys the soul. It's an eternal soul. If you're saved, you have eternal life, and that eternal life allows you to spend eternity with your Savior. See, your soul is redeemed at the moment of salvation, but your body is waiting for the redemption of the purchased possession. That's the difference. You have an old man and a new man. Your old man is your flesh. That's who you were, but not who you have to be. Your new man, He comes in and He lives in you. He redeems you. He regenerates you. He takes your soul and makes it alive. And then He does a spiritual circumcision where He cuts your body away from your soul so that your soul will not be touched by the sin of your flesh. That's what salvation is all about. And then you choose, am I going to follow the flesh like I did before I was saved? Or am I going to follow the Spirit that now dwells in me? And you either quench the Spirit, grieve the Spirit, or follow the Spirit, and you allow Him to control your life. But it's up to you and it's up to me. It isn't up to God. If God had His will, there would have never been sin. There'd have never been a need for a Redeemer. But God decided that He wanted us to love Him out of our free will. So He gave us all a free will. You can choose and make your choices, and you will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ if you're saved according to those choices that you make. You make the right choices. The Bible says you will build up gold, silver, and precious stones, and you'll receive a reward. Or you can do wood, hay, and stubble, and the judgment seat of Christ, all that will burn up. But the Bible says your foundation is Jesus Christ, and that fire will not destroy that foundation. And so you're saved, yet so as by fire, the Bible says. But imagine that. God's got it all figured out. I am just so thrilled that He gave us a book that we can study and learn and grow and know, so that I don't have to walk through life stumbling, wondering what in the world is going to happen in the future. What is life all about? I understand life. I understand that it's all about, what do you do with Jesus?
I understand that it's about what is your relationship, not what is your religion. What is your relationship with the Savior? Do you know Him? And if you don't know Him and you die without knowing Him, He will say, I never knew you. What do you do with that? So Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, only one commandment. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for the day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You say, well, they didn't die. Oh, yes, they did. They were perfect, without sin, just like everything else God created. Perfect, without sin. And the day they ate thereof, their soul died. And they needed redemption. Who was their Redeemer? Surely it was God. They didn't go to heaven. They went to a place called paradise. They accepted the sacrifice that God did to cover over their sins with that animal when He gave them those coats of skin to clothe themselves. They saw, hey, God requires the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. But they had to wait until the Redeemer died. Did God, was He slain from the foundation of the world? Sure He was. Who saw that? God saw that. What did God do? God looked at them and looked at His Son thousands of years later and said, my Son's going to do this to redeem your soul. You got to go to a place called paradise in the heart of the earth. And that's where they went. They went to paradise in the heart of the earth. How do you know that? Because the Bible all works together. All of it fits like this. And you remember when Jesus was on that cross, both of those thieves cast words at Jesus. And then one of them repented. And he said this, Lord, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, remember me when thou art in thy kingdom. Jesus looked at him and said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. What did he do? All these good works to earn it? Not a nail one, or at least nothing that we know of. He's on that cross and being crucified because he was a thief. The other one was a thief, and he cast words at Jesus. He never repented, never trusted Jesus Christ. And he died, as far as we know, and went to hell. Why? Because he heard the testimony of this other thief. He rejected it. This one accepted it. And Jesus said, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. We know that Jesus went in the heart of the earth for 3 days. His soul was not left in hell. That same day he went over to paradise. There was that thief there. How did he get there? He got there by Jesus Christ. He got there through what God prepared for him to be able to accept. And that was the Lord on that cross. And then Jesus died. Later on, the thief died. Listen, it all fits together. You just have to understand, this is the way the Bible works. You might look at it and go, boy, that's all so complicated. This book of life and the Lamb's book of life and the book of the living and the paradise and free will. And listen, all I'm telling you is the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're to study, you're to read your Bible, you're to go to preaching, you're to learn, you're to grow. And if you don't grow, it's not because you don't have the opportunity. You know why this church teaches? This church changed my life. God used this church, changed my life 40 years ago because it was a Bible preaching, Bible teaching church. And I was in error. I just gotten saved. I came over here, started learning my Bible, and I helped friends of mine leave that error and come over here and start learning and growing and maturing. That's what this church has been around, been like for 60 plus years. Because that's the way church is supposed to be. Church is not about, you know, coming and just, you know, having some fellowship together. Listen, we love to fellowship. We love visitors, love people that come and visit with us, and we try to show them how much we care and how much we love them. But let me tell you something. Church is about growth, spiritual growth. Are you growing? Are you maturing? Are you becoming what Jesus Christ intended for you to become? Revelation 4:11 says this, that we are created for His pleasure. What is the pleasure of God? That you and I be saved to serve. That's what it's all about. We are saved to serve Him. How do you serve Him?
That's between you and God. I can't tell you. I can't tell you
what God wants you specifically to do. I know this. God's not willing any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.
God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. No doubt about it. God wants everybody to be saved, but God's will is not always done. If God's will was always done,
would we have the problems in this world that we have?
No. We would not. If God's will was always done, nobody would ever go to hell.
You know, he created hell for the devil and his angels. Didn't even create it for man. Man goes there by choice. You're condemned already because you hadn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's what the Bible says. You're condemned already because you have not believed. So what do you have to do?
You have to come to an understanding to believe on Him, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. That is salvation. That's what I did July 6th, 1980, in some apartment around here in Niceville, Florida. Changed my whole life. I wasn't perfect after that. Hadn't been perfect since.
But I've been forgiven. I know where I'm going when I die. I know what
the future holds within the parameters of what I understand about the Bible.
But I want you to understand this whole Bible. That's what it does. So you got a problem and you can't figure it out.
God just puts it in there and says, there, now you got that. You say, well, I don't understand this other one. Then God just says, here you go, here you go. And that's what my whole life's been about, is putting the pieces of the puzzle all together until sometimes I can see a better picture. Sometimes it's blurry and you don't really understand. But as you continue to grow, and this book of life is one of them.
There'll be people that'll say, well, you can lose your salvation. God can blot your name out of the book of life. Nobody. When Moses asked, God just ignored him. When Paul said, I wish I could be accursed for my brethren's sake according to the flesh, God just ignored him. The only way your name is blotted out in life is in the period yet to come because of the mark of the beast and because there is something that can be done where you can ensure, or a person can ensure, that they have no hope of salvation. They take the mark, no hope. That's it. Let me bring this in for a landing. We looked at Revelation 17:8. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 23. He says, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. The two instances we looked at of names written in heaven likely refer to names being written in the book of life. Psalm 69, verse 28, and this is what I'll close on. He says, let them be blotted out of the book of the living with the righteous. And that sounds like man's name ceases to remain among the righteous when they're blotted out. And again, think about it. If a person is saved, they're righteous in the eyes of God. Now, don't misunderstand this. Does that mean they're sinless? No. In the eyes of God, when a person accepts Jesus Christ, all of their sins are forgiven. Their soul is circumcised away from their flesh. They're baptized with a baptism not made with hand. It's not a water baptism. They're changed. And in the eyes of God, he says, He made Him, speaking of Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. So when it talks about righteous there, it's just talking about somebody that in the eyes of God, He sees His Son. What you and I have to understand is that salvation, God doesn't look at us the same way anymore. He looks at us through the glasses of the cross. He looks through the cross to us, and that's how He sees us. What a glorious thing. Your only hope is that God doesn't give you what you deserve. How do you overcome getting what you deserve? Grace and mercy. For by grace he is saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. There's none righteous, no, not one. But yet in the eyes of God, he can see us as righteous. And that's what he's talking about. He, you know, let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not be written with the righteous. The righteous in the eyes of God are the book of life that are still there after death. So make sure you understand, and what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and go over this again tonight a little bit more, and then we're going to take it a step further and see some more points on that. So let's go ahead and stand. And let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your many blessings. I ask that you guide, lead, and direct during this invitation time. Lord, I pray for souls. Lord, if there is somebody in the midst that has never accepted you as their personal Savior, does not know for sure that should they die, they would go to heaven. I just pray, Lord, you'd prick their heart right now. Help them to know that you are the one that is touching them. In Jesus' name, with your head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask you a couple of things as the pianist plays. If you know for sure, if you were to die right now, you'd go to heaven. As a word of testimony, would you slip your hand up, please? If you know for sure, okay, put your hands down. I can't tell if everybody raised their hand, but let's say you couldn't. You can know for sure. The Bible says in 1 John, I'm going to go ahead and turn that. I'm going to read it to you. He says, these things, actually I'm going to quote it to you, but these things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know that you have eternal life. You ought to know for sure where you're going to spend eternity. I know for sure that I'm going to heaven when I die. I know for sure that if Jesus Christ comes back to rapture the believers, I am one of those believers and I'm going up and I'll never see death. You can know that too. We have an invitation time. Part of that invitation time is if there is a person that needs to accept Jesus Christ, listen, the altar is open. You can step out from where you are. I'll meet you down below. You don't have to do that. But if you want to get it taken care of, we'll take care of it today. However, what I'm telling you also, you can accept Jesus Christ right where you are right now. Number one, you believe you're a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Number two, you believe that the wages of sin is death. What you earn because of your sin is eternal damnation. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says the gift of God is eternal life. He offers it to you as a free gift. And then he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you ever called upon him in salvation to be saved? You can do that right where you are right now. All right, can I have your attention up here? Thank you so much for choosing to be here with us. We are blessed by your presence. We are blessed by just the fact that you would choose to be here at Faith. It's a special place. Special in my heart, as I told you, for 40 plus years. I mean, it changed. I got saved July 6, 1980. I was in a church that really wasn't teaching the Bible, and there were just some things that I was starting to get involved in that weren't according to the Bible. I didn't know that. I came over here, and I started learning this Bible, and that's what made the difference. I thank the Lord for the Word of God. I thank the Lord for this church, and I hope you do too. If there's anything that we can ever do to help you,
please do not hesitate to ask. Many times I've got my business card, whatever, just, you know, you're free to call me. I want you to do that. All right? So again, thank you for coming. I'm going to ask Larry to close us in prayer, if he would.
All right, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this church.